Okay, so we started last week the second pasuk of Esther, and the second pasuk said, "Bayom mehem k'shavas hamelach achshereish hakisamolchus." Say we discussed that there was an anomaly in the words. That in one place it said Kashevis, which would seem like as he sat on his throne, which would be like the inauguration. But then it said Bishnas Shalos L'Malchoy, which would be the third year of his inauguration. So how did it be first year and third year? We said the main approach, but we did a lot to go look on the website to see it. The main approach was that it wasn't as he sat physically on his throne, but when he sat emotionally on his throne, when he was settled, a better word, instead of sitting on the throne, it was settled on the throne. He was settled on the throne 3 years in based on a calculation that he held the 70 years was up, which we have not got to yet, the details of the calculation. Then we discussed last week, continue into this week.
Sure we did.
Then we just
Tuesday night, Ali did it.
Oh, good, good, good. Then we discussed also as well that he decided he wanted to build or use the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, Solomon, but we described that the throne of Solomon was a very not typical thing. It had a live aspect to it. There were lions and eagles that were carved out that then if someone would lie or someone was not worthy or someone didn't repent or someone did false testimony and they'd walk up toward the throne, these inanimate objects became non-inanimate objects and would take revenge. And we even said there was a great king, Paroi Nicho, whatever the word is. He was a lame. The reason why he was a lame because he went onto the throne and he wasn't supposed to, wasn't worthy, and one of the lions hit him. So Achashverosh was a little concerned that maybe he's not worthy of the throne. He didn't want to take a chance. So he replicated, if that's a verb, he replicated the throne somewhere else in Shushan, and he moved to Shushan. That's what's going on according to the first answer. Now, the Medrash notes, where did you come up with this entire conversation? There's a lot of details of a lot of stories. He wanted Shlomo HaMelech's throne. He wasn't worthy of Shlomo HaMelech's throne. Where did it all come from? So it says that when you read the phrase in the Pasuk, Al Kisei Malchusoi, which means the throne of his monarchy, it's misspelled. There is missing letters. We know in Judaism there is no nikudot, no vowelization in the script. And we know as well, sometimes we are missing or added an extra letter here and there. So what do we do with that? He says here it should have been a different throne. It should have been the word, not limolchoi. That's a weird word. It should be o malchusoi, kisei malchusoi. Malchusoi should have an extra aleph, and it'll be malachtoi, which means the work, the avoida, the effort. It wasn't malachtoi meant. It meant al kisei malachtoi. He sat on the throne that he worked on. Not the kisei malchusoi of a throne of the monarchy, but malachtoi means there was an effort of work going on. That therefore malachtoi means, that's malachas, right? Third number malachas means you're creating something. What is malachas on Shabbos? You can't create something new. That's what the third number malachas represents. Not creating, it's not just doing work, because as we said many times, you can take a table and walk around the whole Shabbos. That's work, but it's not called creating something. But so malchusoi means with an extra aleph would be malachasai. Malachasai would mean that there's a work aspect to this thing. The work aspect to this thing meant he built the throne. And that's what happened at the end of 3 years.
But there's no aleph
there. That's what it says. The Medrash says it's missing the aleph. It's missing not to tell that when you read the word, you're missing the aleph. But the aleph belongs in there. It's a vowel that gets missing sometimes. And the missing aleph means read the word a different way. Uh-huh. And because it's the Medrash, how it knows, I can't answer. Messina, I guess. The Medrash knows it's missing an aleph. The missing aleph means it should sell. Malachtoi. Malachtoi means work. Work means the kisei, the throne that he worked on. And it goes through this whole story from Shlomo HaMelech. Not a Ksavakri in this place, no? Right? Now, just as a side, because Israel's thinking this question, if it's going to be missing a letter, so obviously we said ourselves, the missing letter is an aleph, it's a vowel, that's a normal letter to be missing, but okay, you could have missed another letter. What is the point of missing the aleph? That's again, it's a question, only because I have an answer, I'm going to ask you the question. That means every time you're going to have this, they have it by Yaakov and Eliyahu and Avi. The Vav. John's a walking encyclopedia. But the question is not only, it's that, why the Vav? Why the Vav? And that's literally 100 answers. Why, you right? That Yaakov is misspelled without a Vav, Eliyahu has the Vav.
In order for it to be malachtoi, you have to add an aleph, but you also have to take out the vav.
That, but when you read the Medrash, that's what it seems to be hinting at. Correct. It means that was changing the aleph to the vav. They were changing the vav to an aleph. So the word is kisei malachtoi as opposed to kisei malchusoi. Now, what's aleph? I'll tell you a funny thing. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says it describes Leah, the two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Mm-hmm. And by Leah, it describes her that she had
Weak
is a funny word, though. We're not sure what it means. The word says, Einayim rachos. So you're saying weak. Again, that's fine. So, but there's something, it's an odd thing, it's describing eyes. And because Rashi says, because she was crying, she didn't want to be part of married to Esav, of the Ganser Spiel. So we have a place in the Torah, I'm just bringing this as a really a comedy to enjoy a Thursday night class. So we're missing a letter Aleph over here. And I'm telling you another place that over there it says, what does it mean, Rachis, eyes that are soft, weak. Soft, weak eyes. Now, is that going on the eyesight with glasses? No, probably not. It wouldn't be a description anybody cares about. It probably meant that's why Rashi describes it as puffy-ish. I'm making that word up. Puffy-ish eyes because she was crying because she thought she was marrying Esav. All because why are we describing the eyes? Interestingly, the Eben Ezra, who was known for having a sharp-witted response, especially to the Karaites. The Karaites were the people who read the Torah and came up with interpretations based on whatever they came up with, without actually having Messiah, because they did not believe in a tradition. They believe read the words literally, and that's it. Everything else outside. The only thing you can't do is fire on Shabbos. They were literalists. They were textual, what do you call those Supreme Court people? They were textual type of people. So one of them he quotes there, we don't have the Chumash here. One of them he quotes, I think his name was Ben Zuta. He says, Ben Zuta says, they won't call Ben Ezra. Ben Zuta says, you have the regular Chumash there, five. Ben Zuta says, don't read it, that she had a naim rachis, which means weak, soft eyes, how you read it. No, he's a better way. It's missing an aleph. Ben Zuta says, it's missing an aleph. And it should say, a naim aruchis, elongated eyes. Somehow, he... Chinese, I don't know, well, yeah, maybe. But he's using it as a sign of beauty. And the Torah was not being negative, is on my assumption on what he was saying. A brace where you need a chavitcha chavitcha Torah. This door open, they have it there. It does? Oh, so he says, Leah, enayim rachis does not mean enayim rachis. Weak eyes, it means elongated. I made that word up, if that, I'm saying. Enayim aruchis, and I think what he's trying to say is it's a complimentary thing. And Eben Ezra was famous as being a textualist. He went into this stuff a lot. So he decided, oh, that's a good shelf there. He decided to comment on this thing. And he says this funny quote, which hopefully he'll bring to me right now. On Leah Einayim Rachis is in Parshas Vayetze. 29. Chavtes what? I'm guessing around the Lamed, but I made it up. Let's see. I'll find it. You bring it here, I'll find it. So, we have a Leah Rachis to Leah Ruchis. We're missing an Aleph. That's the only thing I'm connecting with this. This has no Shaychas to the Esther story, but why not? We're allowed to go a little extra. So it says in... Yeah, 17. Einayim Leah Rachis. Here's the Eben Ezra. Eben Ezra says, quoting it inside, Kemashmoi Rachis. He says, oh, wrong name. Not Ben Zut, that's a different place. Uben Ephraim. All that funny. Uben Ephraim Omar, he says, Shu Chasar Aleph. It's missing an Aleph. The Taimoi, and it should be Aruchis. What's his response to this? One of the classic witty lines back. Fehu Haya Chasar Aleph. He's missing an Aleph. Now, since his name's Ephraim, name is quick. Since his name is Ephraim, it means he's an animal. Barim, a par tippish. Ephraim missing an aleph becomes a par, right? So, also what I think is he's adding on. That's my long road to get here. I think he was trying to say, why is he missing an aleph? It sounds funny, which you got right away to go from the word Ephraim to the word parim. Yeah. But I think it also means when normally what we know as kids, we give out a book called what? Aleph Bina. Aleph normally represents common sense, brains, right? So when he writes, that's what I always thought he meant. When he writes Voyachasa Aleph, he was saying a double whammy. He's missing common sense. He just made up, he's saying the Torah is missing an Aleph. He's missing the brain cells. And by the way, you miss the brain cells, you become an animal. So why am I bringing this in now? Because I want to say that when sometimes... I think so. The Tama Aruchas, period. That means I want to say what Ben Ephraim means. The Tama, what he's trying to say is he wants it to be called Aruchas. But his response is, Vahu Ben Ephraim, I'm reading this, Vahu Ben Ephraim Hayachas Aleph. He's missing an Aleph. When you see it inside, Ezra is laughing more. It's a very funny line. So now, David got it right away. So it goes like this. It means when you're missing. Oh, Eben Ezra was famous for these wits. We'll go with another one in a second. The other one's Ben Zuta. I'll tell you in a second. We're really off the side road here, but it's fine. So what am I want to add here? I want to say this. When the Torah took out an Aleph, and Judd wanted to know why it's missing the Vav, why it's missing the Aleph, I'll tell you why. Because the Torah is telling you, he's a tippish. The missing Aleph, if the Eben Ezra could say it over there, if that's what he meant, we're saying over here. It's telling you, Achashverosh is missing also the brain cells. And what we could add on, are in 2025, What's the point of mimicking the throne of Shlomo? Shlomo's throne was not only about a physical beauty of how it's going to be, but it's also about what existed in it. What the beauty of the throne was that if you lied to Shlomo Melech, you got bit by a lion. So you're going to replicate it. And by the way, we spoke last week at the very end, the tipshus of Achashverosh is that once they built the thing in, what did we say, Kansas, Cleveland, I forgot what we said then. In the boondocks, I don't remember what we said there. Was it Kansas? I don't remember what we said. Cleveland. Omaha. Omaha, maybe. He built it in the middle of nowhere. And after these people of Chelm went and built the entire throne, they couldn't move it. So he had to move the palace from Washington to whatever we said it was. He had to move it. Does that not show a lack of common sense, a lack of brain cells? Oh. So the reason why it's Chas Aleph.
He was so smart to make all these calculations and become the king. I mean,
we spoke a few weeks ago, maybe when you weren't here one week, we spoke.
Last week I wasn't here.
No. Oh, so then we spoke that the Gemara says, we've spoken already more than once we said it, that the Gemara debates if he was a Melech Tipish or a Melech Chacham. Was he brilliant or not? And when you read it, you see there's different things. Mr. Magoo, when he's driving the car, everyone's crashing behind him. So the idea is, it could be here, would be another hint. And early on in the stage, early on in the game, tell us, by the way, Chasa Aleph, missing a thing. Another thing we could say on the similar game, and then we're going to get back to another Ebenezer. Please get me a Shemais, Israel, get me a Shemais, I'll show you a good one also. Is that Aleph also represents, if you have to know what does Aleph represent. So one time we just said now, one interpretation. Aleph represents brain cells. Chasa Aleph Bina. Another thing Aleph represents, Alufay Shel Olam. Alufay Shel Olam means normally that it represents godliness, spirituality. It means great things by God. I could say it means life itself. So when it's telling you here that the throne, Vehu Chaser Aleph, it's missing an Aleph. You know what's missing? The liveliness that had Shlomo Melech's throne. Shlomo Melech's throne was an inanimate object that was inanimate on some level, but also had liveliness to it. It had a marble lion that could bite someone. So when the Torah wants to tell you, by the way, when he built his throne, his mimic, his replica, the Torah says, the Medrash, when they're writing they're writing over the scroll, they left out the Aleph to tell you by the throne, to tell you, by the way, it's missing the Aleph. He had a replica physically, but he did not have a replica of liveliness to it. Now, just to tell you, so far we did as a recap. We're saying the source of last week's drasha of the whole Shlomo Melech fiasco of what he was trying to copy was the fact that it might have been missing an Aleph, and now we gave two interpretations of why the Aleph was chosen. Either it's a lack of common sense, or it's a lack of liveliness to it. Now, just as a side of an Ezra, because I see Israel's taking pictures, I want to show you another thing. No, it's good. You'll tell this one also. He probably
sent this to somebody who appreciates it.
When it says like this. When a shar, is this the Ebenezer here? Just want to make sure I got it. It's Benzuto. It says like this: when you have an animal that kills another person, his friend's animal, here it is, 2135 Chaf Aleph Lamed Hey, Vichy Yigoif, shar ish, there's a line there. When a man's shar, Yigoif, hits, I'm using hit. As shar re'eyu, the shar of his friend. So it's shar of Mr. A hitting shar of Mr. B. V'mace, and it dies. Then when it goes through a whole cheshbon, baba kama, how much you have to pay? Right? That's what it says. Chiyigav ishar ish as shar re'eyu. And Ebenezer quotes a number one. That's where he quotes him, I think. Isn't it Ebenezer? Yes. Ebenezer says, Ama Benzuta. That was Benzuta. Another one of these karats. Benzuta says, what does the word re'eyu mean? Chiyigach sharish. When there's a shar of a person that hits, es shar re'eyu. He says, what does the re'eyu mean? Now, I explained to you, it means Mr. A shar, that's how we understand it, hits Mr. B shar. Mr. A, Mr. B. And by the way, the Gemara learns, it has to be Mr. B's shar and not a shar of Hegdash. Different halachas. So Mr. A, private citizen animal, hits Mr. B's private citizen. Ami ben Zuto. Ki re'eyu, the word friend, toyar le shar, it's going on shar. That means when Mr. A's shar hit his friend Mr. B's shar. It means Mr. A's shar hit the shar's friend. The animal had his friend. He attacked his own friend. That's how Benzuta's learning it. Benzuta's saying again, it's not Mr. A's animal hit his is going on the friend of the human.
So they were saying that the animals are friends with each other.
Animals are capable of having friends. That's what he says. As another sharp phrase.
That's what they do to their friends. They
he says v'loy roi, he's not missing. He missed something. It says ki shar ish. It's samachu. It's going on the word ish, not going on the word shar. V'cheinu shar eyu. The shar eyu is going on the word ish. Lost. I'll figure that after a while. It's too much. Here goes. V'ein l'shar reya. Animals don't have friends. Rak benzuta levadai. Benzuta is the friend of this animal.
And who's this?
Ebenezer again. Quote at the bottom. Now, okay.
I gotta send this to Andrew Green also.
Right? I'm assuming he knows.
Yeah, this might. I think I actually heard this from Edmonds.
Could be. Okay. So far we did. You don't even know what that was. So far what we did was.
Who?
So far what we did was, again, we pointed out the missing Aleph. We have two interpretations of why specifically Aleph, and we had a couple of interesting Ebenezers that are sharp-witted tongue. We'll go further. Now we want to discuss a little bit of what happened in the third year of his reign. R-E-I-G-N. So we said last time, which is going to fit in now, that last time the Gemara says that the third year was when he now was confident that there was no longer going to be a Jewish Malchus. And eventually we will get back to that. Somehow we get to Pasuk Gimel. If we have confidence that we will get to Pasuk Gimel, we will discuss that because that's really a contradiction between 2 and 3. But we'll give other reasons now on what happened in the third year. So the first answer is very simple. Mamash based on last week as well. The building of the throne took 3 years. So when the 3 years is up, he's about to make a party. Bishnas Shalos Malchus Asimus, he's about to make a party. Why is he making a party now? So the first answer, the Gemara says, making a party because now he's confident. Yes. Second answer, no, it took 3 years. The whole thing is about this throne. We're continuing from last week. As a standalone show, if you missed last week, we're still good. That the idea was he was trying to help out his throne. And how long did it take? We said it's a massive idea, this throne. They tried other places. It became so big they couldn't even move the items. So clearly it's a massive throne. So it took 3 years. It took 3 years to build the throne. So therefore, 3 years, he decided now, at 3 years, he's going to do it. Very simple. Now, as well, there's a famous rule. From his Nei Yisrael days, he remembers, if you'd be listening and not taking pictures, he would know that we have something called Chazakah. Chazakah is 3 years. Confidence in a person means on a simple level again, it's a guy has a field. If he's living in the field for 3 years and he lost his contract, technically, right, in ideal law, you got to hold on to your deed to your house. But let's say we in the old days, there were no vaults. Doing none of this type of stuff. Where'd you put the stuff? You found some guy who might have had a guard. You found some plot in the ground. And who knows? It rains. Yeah. So we couldn't expect, this is one way of understanding, we couldn't expect people to hold on to these contracts forever. We were nervous. So we said, well, okay, make a deal. If you could prove you lived there for 3 years, you're good enough. 3 years means we represent something affirming that you have a holding. So it's very simple to say. Why did Achashverosh have 3 years? And the Vilna Gaon of the same thing, that when he first took over, it was a revolutionary time. They were switching the kings from Paras to Madai. They were switching over from Babylonian to these type of kings. So it was a revolutionary, it was a little of influx. So now, 3 years in, okay, now I'm confident. So he made the party as 3 years again. We were saying confidence because of the Jews. No, confidence of himself. When you go for 3 years, you're happy. 3 years means I have a hold on this, on my job. I'm confident after 3 years I have my job. Similarly, but more aggressively, again, it's going on the 3 years. It's going to be like this. What happened is Nebuchadnezzar came to power.
I said this to Hashi Friedman. He says he was making fun of him because he was a Karaite.
Karaite.
And then before I got to send him the Shmos, he sends me, and there's another one in Shmos 21:35.
I think there's more than two. But okay, that's good. Oh, so now we have like this. We have, that was a revolutionary time. So he got confident. But we want to say again that there's a confidence after 3 years. So the first confidence is easy. Now, there's another confidence. In the history of what happened with Nebuchadnezzar and Achashverosh, this is going to come up a few times. When Achashverosh, the previous king before Achashverosh was Dayavish. And when Dayavish took over, at one point he allowed the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Mordechai might have gone to Shalim at that point before he came back to Shushan. All things we might get to eventually. What? Oh, and then what happened was when Achashverosh came into power.
Then Zuta was also a Karaite?
Probably. When Achashverosh came into power, he made a stop order. He put the codes on. And it's come from Haman's children, convinced him, and he stopped it. And we said in the first week we gave this class, or the second week, Mitchila Saifat Saifi was a Russia. What was Mitchila? What was Saifi? Mitchila meant he stopped the basement in the beginning.
What happens if you take off an hour from the
Purim.
Oh, okay. He was
saying
Purim.
Okay. Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
So what it means is, that he made a stop order. And for 3 years, it was... So when Dayovish made the go order, he took over, he made a stop order. 3 years after the stop order is when he had confidence. It's 3 years into his malchus. Either he's confident because the Revolutionary Guard going on and I'm now taking over the throne, or another answer for 3 years. He's confident in the 3 years. Why? Because the 3 years, as I put the stop order on, I'm standing here. God didn't smite me. The Jews didn't revolt. The Jews didn't pay off to get the building codes. Look around this neighborhood. We're not going to go right. Or as soon as they turn around on a Sunday morning, they build an extra 48 feet across the board. So I'm even Yavin, right? We know what's going on. So he says, wait a second. I did this 3 years ago. I made a stop order. I wasn't sure how confident it was going to work. I was waiting for the ministers to get bribed by the Jews, and my ministers would come over to me. Oh, it's 3 years in, and nobody said a word? I have confidence. So why he waited to the third year? Gemara gives the easy answer. That the Gemara gives the obvious answer that he was confident because it was 70 years to the end of the exile, which we'll figure out different cheshbonos. But never knew one. He was confident because it took him 3 years to build the thing, or 3 years for revolutions, or 3 years because he stopped order to the base of Mikdash, now it's going on. Multiple answers we're giving for the one question. We're not finished yet. Now, so a wild answer by one of the early commentators. And probably, even if we stick around for a while, we're not going to go into this idea. At length, probably. Even for my standards, probably not. But there are different midrashim. What we're going to get into for sure is the fight between Vashti and Achashverosh. They were married, and there was a fight. Who really is the leader? That's for sure going to come up. So he married Vashti. How did he get to Vashti? He took over in a war, maybe, and stuff like that, and he met Vashti as a little child. It's a question exactly at what point he met her, and who was pro the marriage, and why it was a union of powers together, like they have, you know, the English marriage, the Prussian king. Okay. Some want to say that this party was the actual wedding. This is the wedding party. Long, fancy wedding. Now, when we start going through the sugya, you'll see it's possible to say that he was married much earlier, when he came to power, when he met her, even potentially, so then it can't be a wedding. They want to explain, mind-blowing, a new idea we have in America. They renewed their vows. So it's not a new concept that exists now only in America. It means, at this point, 3 years into his melucha, I don't know if it's a connection to the word three according to this interpretation. You could connect it on your own, but it might not be for sure there's a connection to the three. But at this point in time, there was a connection that meant the grand ballroom party was a wedding reception. Then we have to debate in the wedding reception, was this the first time he married her? Which some do say. That's going to be the history of Vashti. I don't know if we'll get into that. And the second way to do it is that, no, he married her much earlier. This is a renewal of the vows that are going on. But again, either way, according to his approach, this was a wedding ceremony, and we would say wedding of the century, because it's going on for 187 days. This is a massive thing. But okay, you know, a couple years ago when the guy got married in England, we already mentioned his names, and on a share, but they made a major, it was a day off, I think, across England, they were supposed to do it in America, right? If it was a day off from work, everyone to sit and watch the wedding. So that's one day.
The market was closed for the funeral of Carter.
Oh, that's a funeral. Would it close for a wedding? I don't know. Well, I don't know. Okay. Now, again, we're on the question of what is the reason why at the third year of his reign, he's making a party. And we don't know if it's connected to the word three or not. That will depend on the answers you're giving. Before we said maybe, yeah. Now again, according to, for example, to be clear, according to the example that the reason he made the party was because now the throne was made. I think you could say, that if it would have taken 2 years to make the throne, he would have made a party after 2 years. If it would have taken 6 years to make a party, longer or shorter, he'd make a party after 6 years. If you're going to learn, according to the answers, that he made a stop order to the base of Mikdash, now he's confident. Or, as David said, he became king, and he's always nervous. Then it's three literally. Wedding, I don't know. I don't know if he waited for the third year to get married or not. I don't have an answer for that. Was a renewal of the vow, because it's 3 years. I ideally think it's not connected, but if someone tells me he feels it is connected, I don't have a problem with that. Next answer, I have the same thing. I saw this again. What I'm quoting now is Kadmoinim, not Tainticus. 400-500 years ago, Tamid Beis Yosef, Tamid Ramal, a little after that, some of them. He says like this. He says that part of the debate coming up is Achashverosh was not, we discussed it with Rashi recently, he might not have been part of a monarchy family. Now, last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we discussed that maybe he was, but he was from the wrong family. He was supposed to either Paras Amadai, that was a Gemara over there, Ayin Shum, go look at the old tapes so we can find it, which kingdom he's part of. But that was going on the fact that he did come from a kingdom family, but not the right kingdom. But most learn, and I can't say most, but when you average a person on the street, you ask him, what was Achashverosh's lineage? most will say that he did not come from great stock. That's the word, great stock. So I saw this Kabban say amazingly. So this Kabban say like this, that what he had to do was, you got to pretend. You can't be the head of the kingdom and not be have any shyness to it. And as we know, there's rules for how they act. When someone would go visit the Queen of England, before they'd go, they give a list of rules. You don't ask the Queen to pass you orange juice, right? You have to curse, you have to say certain words. I don't know all the details, right? There's something that has to go on. Before they marry into the family, they have to go, we call finishing school. That was called finishing school?
Yeah, wasn't there this, one of the Chavrei Knesset was a Haredi woman, and she met somebody in England, and she said, I cannot follow the rules. She had to shake somebody's hand, and she said, it's against my religion. She didn't know what to do, and there's a whole thing.
Could be.
They ended up giving her credit for...
There is this finishing touch, like, where do you put the spoon? How do you do this? There's, I think it's called finishing school. So I saw in a Kadman, I'm using the word finishing school, that Ahasuerus, when he came to power, realized that he was missing this thing. And I don't know if it was insecure, I'm adding these details in, I don't know if it was insecurity, or he felt people would mock him, or in itself, it could be a problem to the monarchy, if the king doesn't know what to do, could be a problem in the actual monarchy. And because of that, I'm going to say privately, but it's not clear from the early Kadman if it was a finishing school, that's what I'm using as a joke, and he went at etiquette. And he went and learned the etiquette. And now I'm modifying what this has said. There's very few words there. I'm modifying it to an American version. And it said like this. He had reached a point where he graduated school. College in America is what? 3 years? Is law school 3 years? Undergrad 3 years. 4 years. But law school 3 years. So it's 3 years finishing school. So he was celebrating it. I want to modify the word celebrating and say, no, it doesn't mean he was just having a random party. The party was to prove he could do it. Let me show you that I know what I'm doing. Let me show you I know how to carry the plate. Well, I don't think a king carries a plate. Let me show you I know when to wink. I know when not to put my hands into the chicken plate in the middle. I know how to do it. So the party was more of a public outing to show, listen, when I'm in public now, I know what I'm doing. And that was a party. Now, according to that, again, you could debate, does it take 3 years for everyone to do etiquette laws? Or, no, if he would have done it in 2 years, it would have been five years. Or no, the etiquette requires a three-year thing to prove yourself, to internalize these moves, to know that when the wine comes out, you're not going to grab it, to do all that type of stuff. Okay, then we're going to stop here. Then we're going to continue this next week more. We'll continue this next week more to do different approaches of why the party was now. And hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, we will have food.